hoping to get asylum in the U.S., writing on Twitter, quote, the big caravan of people from Honduras now coming across Mexico headed to our weak laws border had better be stopped before it gets there. The president also suggesting aid to Honduras is at stake. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.
There's an increased presence of New York City cops around mosques today, and other cities are taking similar actions after a message pops up on social media calling for the assault of Muslims today, April 3rd, on what it calls Punish a Muslim Day, the memo urging people to bomb a mosque and commit other various hate crimes against Muslims. Effective yesterday, China imposes tariffs on American products it imports, and it's renewed fears of a trade war between the two nations. The Dow Jones Industrial Average falling over 750 points during the day's trading yesterday, though it finished lower by 459 points. But White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders says President Trump still feels good about the tariffs he's imposed in recent weeks.
The president knows that we're billions of dollars in a trade deficit with China. He's tired of us being taken advantage of, and the president's going to fight back.
Sanders spoke on Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
President Trump is asking a judge for private arbitration in the Stormy Daniels lawsuit. Yesterday, the president and his lawyer, Michael Cohen, filed paperwork asking a federal judge to order the lawsuit brought by the adult film star and director Stormy Daniels be resolved through private arbitration after she filed the suit last month, claiming that a non-disclosure agreement she signed regarding an alleged affair with President Trump 10 years ago moved from the state court to federal court to, quote, increase their chances that the matter will be decided in private arbitration, hiding the truth from the public, she says. Daniel's lawyer, Michael Avenatti, tweeting that he will, quote, vigorously oppose the request for private arbitration. Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones reacting after a sheriff's patrol vehicle struck a protester and then drove on Saturday night. Jones said he isn't even sure if the deputy realized that the vehicle had clipped someone because he may have been focused on the protesters who had surrounded the vehicle. Jones releasing dash cam video from the patrol vehicles on the scene. It shows a group of what he called professional protesters and instigators surrounding those police vehicles. He said the group was not part of the larger protest that evening against the police shooting of an unarmed black man last month. As for that protester struck by the police vehicle the other night, she received minor injuries and has since been released from a hospital. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Well, good morning. It's 10:05, time for Huntington Chamber Radio weather. In Flemington right now, it's 36 degrees. It's overcast skies. There's a 70% chance of precipitation right now, and I can see some heavy storms off to our northwest coming our way. Rain will continue, and April 3rd, 2018 says rain showers early will evolve into a more steady rain for the afternoon, a high of 44, winds east southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 70%. Rain showers early with scattered thunderstorms arriving overnight, a low of 41, winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 60%. For tomorrow, thunderstorms in the morning will give way to cloudy, windy conditions late. Morning high of 66 with temps falling to near 50, winds west-southwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 80%. On Thursday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny and just 47. On Friday, rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers in the afternoon, 58. Chance of rain, 70%. Cloudy and 44 on Saturday, and generally sunny, few afternoon clouds, 47 on Sunday. As I said, I can see in the radar here that a storm is to our immediate northwest. 40 right now in Raritan, 37 down in Kingwood, 38 over in Frenchtown, 36 in Asbury, 34 in Highbridge, and 38 in White House. Stay tuned for Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com right after this.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Good day and welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never seems to have time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so the consumers seeking personal or professional use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Those segments could include technology news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me through there. Email me at goodmorning@huntingchamber.com. My phone number here at the studio, 908-237-0410. And you can contact me outside the show at my company, BluePantherBIZ.com. Welcome to another edition of Tech Today. I'm sorry we missed each other last week, but I was using technology to bring you the economic forum with Russell Price over at the Beaverbrook Country Club last week and needed to get that all set up. So here we are. It's It's the first week of April, and we got lots of things happening out there. One of the things that we're constantly looking at, worried about, fretting about, and in addition to that, throwing up our hands in despair, is security. Well, there might be a new way of doing it, and it has to do with LED lights. The Good News Network reports on March 31st that LED lights can now broadcast internet that is faster and more secure than Wi-Fi. So once again, light over sound, right? Wi-Fi is a sound wave, a hidden sound wave. Light is a visual wave. One of the latest and brightest tech revolutions is being implemented into a French office space, and if proven successful, it could start delivering speedier and safer data around the world. Philips Lighting, the world's largest electronic lighting company, is test driving Li-Fi, a wireless technology that broadcasts the internet through light. Looking like a simple LED light fixture, each one installed in the French office is equipped with a small modem that makes the light flicker at such a speed that it's imperceptible to the human eye. The light is then detected by a USB attachment inserted into the tablet or the computer. The company says that if Li-Fi becomes more popular in the future, the tech could be internally built into most devices. The setup means that any office space equipped with Li-Fi will benefit from quality, energy-efficient LED lights and a highly secure, stable, and robust connection that has 10,000 times the spectrum of Wi-Fi. Li-Fi, which is short for light fidelity, works similarly to Wi-Fi, but with some very key differences. Since Wi-Fi can only transmit internet through radio waves, it comes with significant shortcomings in terms of safety and space. Wi-Fi has a much harder time reaching around walls and barriers, and the frequency can interfere with hospital and airline equipment. Li-Fi comes with none of these issues. Additionally, Li-Fi adds an extra layer of security because it operates on a short-range basis that prevents it from being accessed without a direct line of sight. Not only that, Li-Fi provides broadband connection with a speed of 30 megabytes per second, which means that a user could simultaneously stream several HD quality videos while having video calls without trouble. Philips is the first global lighting company to offer Li-Fi-enabled luminaires, said Olivia Kui, who's the Chief Innovation Officer of Philips Lighting. Li-Fi has enormous potential for today's digital age, and as the world's leading lighting company, we are proud to pioneer new services for our customers. So imagine that. You're sitting in an office, and somewhere above you, built into the ceiling, are bulbs made of LED technology, and your human eye doesn't even respond to the flickering. You don't even realize it. It's happening so fast. And yet your computer is reading that as data coming down to it, a series of ones and zeros, ons and offs, quickly coming down. And because light is faster than sound, it's a piece of cake. Now, the only challenge is that you have to have those Li-Fis, I would think, in each room as you move about. Whereas radio waves seem to be able to go across. Be interesting to see the distance that light goes. Light doesn't have a problem in distance, but it does have a problem in refraction and reflection. So if you're around the corner, would the shadows of a light blinking still work for you? I don't know. Be interesting to see. Nonetheless, a new technology. And I still go back to back in the early 90s. I remember sitting at a desk working on a program and hearing about the limitations that we were hitting with all the certain technologies and wondering, my gosh, this is all we can do. And yet those things are being absolutely crushed compared to what we're able to do today. Just this phone alone that we have is is more powerful than some of the computers that existed back 50 years ago. And it's just fantastic to realize that. And we're still scratching the surface, unfortunately. Who knows where we're going to be in another 20 years because technology is moving at such a rapid exponential rate. All right, we are at our first commercial break. You're listening to Tech Today, and we are on HuntingtonRadio.com, the voice of business. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tech Today, and we're on WHCRDB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. Last segment, we were talking about Li-Fi, light-emitted fidelity to transport data across. And I was commenting at the end of that segment how quickly technology has evolved. Well, nothing more obvious than the technology of drones. If you think back, when was the first time that you actually heard about drones and how quickly it has now become part of our entire world? It's fascinating to realize, and it's continuing to capitalize. Here is an example of that on Yahoo.com, published by Trevor Mogg of Digital Trends. Says University of Michigan hopes new drone facility pushes students to great heights. So this, if anything, is more representative than this, in that all of a sudden the universities have already started to pick up on the need to further education and learning in the technology of drones. So up until recently, the University of Michigan's aerospace engineering students could only test their drones in an atrium of one of the university's buildings, and the flying machines had to remain tethered at all times. The less than ideal conditions that led to the establishment of M-Air, a new outdoor lab that offers a much freer environment for students to test their aerial machines. M-Air is a simple yet effective solution comprising a netted complex with 9,600 square feet of space that allows students to push their drones to the limit. Whether they're testing new algorithms, mechanisms, sensors, or any other system aimed at advancing drone technology. The netting plays several important roles. First, it allows students to expose their drones to all types of weather conditions, thereby offering a realistic environment for testing. Second, it offers a safe space for testing new designs and systems that could, during their development, result in many flyaway incidents or crashes. Without the netting, the university would have to find a remote location, perhaps far from the university, to test their machines outside, and they'd need permission from the authorities to do so. As you see in the video of this article, M-Air also includes a sheltered pavilion that acts as a kind of workshop area where up to 25 students and teachers can prepare the machines for flight, as well as tweak existing setups during a flighting session. Student Matthew Romano says M-Air allows them to test a drone system as much as we want, without fear of breaking or hurting other people. And it really lets us push the boundaries and allows us to really move quickly on iterating and developing the system and testing our algorithms. Drone technology is advancing rapidly. While the machines being developed for use in wide range of industries, we've heard much about plans for package delivery from likes of Amazon, but there are also plans to use much bigger drones for commercial transport, while others are being developed for search and rescue missions that could one day see lifting people to safety. They're also being used to inspect and clean infrastructure like bridges and wind turbines, and can gather environmental and atmospheric data, too. Dimitrios Zekos, who's the associate professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Michigan, is helping students develop a specialized drone to survey and 3D map areas hit by natural disasters. This work can inform risk assessment studies, urban planning, and other critical decisions and processes. It could also lead to better design procedures and eventually safer structures, Zeko said. The university says M-Air is currently the only engineering school in the country with access to cutting-edge robotic testing facilities for land, air, sea, and space, operating as it does alongside M-City for autonomous vehicles. The Marine Hydrodynamics Lab for testing robotic and conventional watercraft, and the Space Physics Research Lab that focuses on development of robotic spacecraft. So there you go. Didn't take much, did it? All they needed to do was put up 9,600 square feet of netting and a little bit of infrastructure for people to be housed from the elements, and voila, you got people who are able to go out there and do it. And I do understand the fact that you need to have the, with the netting, it keeps the need for you to notify the authorities, because in most cases with these drones, you need to file a flight plan if it's going to be roaming about outdoors. So nice to see that we are moving this fast in drone technology. And you just look at some of the examples that were demonstrated only in the last couple of years. Now, you might poo-poo the fact that the Olympics and the Super Bowl had little games that went on or little activities that demonstrated how drones, a group of drones, could format pictures in the sky. But that just goes to show you the synchronous abilities to and the accuracy in which you were able to control these things. So now with computers figuring out how to control drones at a rapid, enormous scale, we all of a sudden have a lot more opportunity to do things that we never were able to do before. So we've gotten away, for the most part, of flying drones manually with our own hands and our own brains. We're now programming computers to do the work for us and simply telling the computer, here's what I want to do, come up with the flight plan, and the computer will tell the drone how to do it. That seems to make a lot more sense, providing that the computer itself is built properly, the computer program is built properly, to avoid any unnecessary damage or injury. It's 10:25, and let's see what else we have here. We take it to the next level. There is another article here talking about the possibility of putting drones, robot bees on Mars. This comes from LiveScience.com and published on April 3rd. The author is Hal Lester, who's a staff writer. And Hal says, I'm sorry, I didn't get that right, Hal. It's Letzer. And says, NASA has two teams of researchers working on a design of robotic bee that can fly on Mars. The space agency announced the project on March 30th. It's in its early stages, but the idea is to replace modern rovers, which are slow, bulky, and very expensive, with swarms of sensor-studded, fast-moving microbots that can cover much more ground at a relatively low cost. Literally called Mars bees, the little bots are flapping wing flyers of a bumblebee size with a cicada-sized wings, said the NASA officials. As Live Science has previously reported, the largest species of bumblebee grows to be up to 1.6 inches long, but the American bumblebee is about a quarter of that size. Cicada wings, according to a range of formal scientific descriptions, can vary from 1.2 inches in centimeters, 3 centimeters, to more than double that length, depending on the species. One reason this idea is so feasible, Mars low gravity. The planet has just one-third of Earth's gravitational pull, offering the Mars bees an advantage despite the thin atmosphere. The Guardian reported that these bees will not only map the Mars terrain, but also collect samples of the planet's thin air in hopes of finding methane gas, a possible sign of life. NASA's Curiosity rover has detected low levels of the gas previously. Science reported, though, that whether it was biologically produced is unknown. Flapping wing bots are pretty uncommon on Earth, the NASA statement noted, because rotary wing bots like quadcopters are much more popular. But the flapping wing designs allows the team to integrate certain low-power, highly efficient technologies that will be important on the Red Planet, where the bots will have to return regularly to their home base to recharge. Mars bees still in their very early stages with a learned team at the University of Alabama working on numerical models and a Japanese team slated to design and test a micro-flapping bot prototype. So how about that all of a sudden? We had the rover going around the planet on wheels. Now, how much easier would it be to drop a whole bunch of these bumblebee robots on a planet? If not all of them work, you still have plenty of other ones to go. And they're much smaller and obviously more capable. But technology had to evolve to be able to program them and be able to charge them. That's why we're so far advanced now than where we were back when the rover got there in the first place. Fantastic stuff. We're at the halfway mark of Tech Today. We're going to take a break. We'll do the news, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today on WHCRDB in just a little bit.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Villanova has its second title in 3 years.
That's the final call as heard on NCAA TV as the Villanova Wildcats became champions of men's college basketball, beating Michigan 79-62 in last night's title game in San Antonio. Afterwards, the winning coach, Jay Wright, said,
We just feel so blessed that we're put in this position to have each other, have guys like this to play with.
The president tweeting this morning, referring to a caravan of over 1,000 Central American migrants hoping to get asylum in the U.S., writing on Twitter, quote, "The big caravan of people from Honduras now coming across Mexico headed to our weak laws border had better be stopped before it gets there." The president also suggesting aid to Honduras is at stake. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.
There's an increased presence of New York City cops around mosques today, and other cities are taking similar actions after a message pops up on social media calling for the assault of Muslims today, April 3rd, on what it calls Punish a Muslim Day. The memo urging people to bomb a mosque and commit other various hate crimes against Muslims. Effective yesterday, China imposes tariffs on American products it imports, and its renewed fears of a trade war between the two nations. The Dow Jones Industrial Average falling over 750 points during the day's trading yesterday, though it finished lower by 459 points. But White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders says President Trump still feels good about the tariffs he's imposed in recent weeks.
The president knows that we're billions of dollars in a trade deficit with China. He's tired of us being taken advantage of. The president's going to fight back.
Sanders spoke on Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
President Trump is asking a judge for private arbitration in the Stormy Daniels lawsuit. Yesterday, the president and his lawyer, Michael Cohen, filed paperwork asking a federal judge to order the lawsuit brought by the adult film star and director, Stormy Daniels, be resolved through private arbitration after she filed the suit last month, claiming that a non-disclosure agreement she signed regarding an alleged affair with President Trump 10 years ago moved from the state court to federal court to, quote, increase their chances that the matter will be decided in private arbitration, hiding the truth from the public, she said. Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, tweeting that he will, quote, vigorously oppose the request for private arbitration. Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones reacting after a sheriff's patrol vehicle struck a protester and then drove on Saturday night. Jones said he isn't even sure if the deputy realized that the vehicle had clipped someone because he may have been focused on the protesters who had surrounded the vehicle. Jones releasing dash cam video from the patrol vehicles on the scene. It shows a group of what he called professional protesters and instigators surrounding those police vehicles. He said the group was not part of the larger protest that evening against the police shooting of an unarmed black man last month. As for that protester struck by the police vehicle the other night, she received minor injuries and has since been released from a hospital. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
All right, welcome back to Tech Today on Hunting Chamber Radio.com, the voice of business. We have plenty of other things to chat about. Technology is in our midst all the time, and And that's the really cool thing about me getting to share some of this with you every week. So we went off into technology with Li-Fi and drones and robot bees. Let's get a little bit more practical, shall we? One of the things that we deal with, because we deal with technology all the time, is we deal with the physical endurance of that. And one of them is the position that we have our hands in, and in our relationship to our body, causing a strain on our tendons and creates this thing called carpal tunnel syndrome. Carpal tunnel syndrome has been around, gosh, it's been got to be 20 years, 20 plus years already. And I know it probably existed before then with typewriters, but as we started to introduce more and more computers into the workforce, we've started to see an uprise in carpal tunnel syndrome. Well, David Pogue of Yahoo Finance says we should instead buy a vertical mouse. I've never even heard of a vertical mouse. Let's find out what they're talking about. You've probably been using computer mice for over 30 years, or as much as 30 years as you've been alive. So it might come as something of a shock to learn that, as Steve Jobs might have said, you're holding it wrong. That, at least, is the opinion of many ergonomic experts and people who treat repetitive stress injuries. When you use a regular mouse for many hours a day, you're doing terrible things to yourself. You're twisting your arm inward to make your hand flat. This pronation tightens the joint space of your two forearm bones, which is unilateral, which is unnatural, and eventually can be painful. The weight of your arm is on the underside of your wrist, pressed against the desk, especially if you move the mouse using your wrist as a pivot. You're squishing the carpal tunnel and the tiny tube that lets your median nerve run from your elbow to your hand. Enough of that, and you get the pain and tingling of carpal tunnel syndrome. There's a fairly brilliant solution to all of this. Use a vertical mouse. To understand the concept, imagine rotating your standard mouse on its side. So basically like a handshake. So instead of having the bottom of your wrist resting on the desk, have the side of your wrist on the desk and have your hand out like you're shaking hands with somebody on a desk, but your hand is still leaning on the desk. Now, I'm a little curious as to how that's going to work with a mouse, but we'll see. Now your hand is in a more natural position all day, like you're shaking hands or holding an ice cream cone, and it's virtually impossible to rest your wrist on the desk. You're encouraged to move the mouse from the elbow, which takes all the performance anxiety away from your wrist. In other companies, vertical mice are standard issue equipment just to avoid employee problems and workman comp claims. So I don't currently have pain, but I went through an awful period years ago when I suffered tenosynovitis, inflammation of the tendon sheaths in my mouse wrist. I got so bad I had to stop using the computer for months, and worse, playing the piano. What I learned from the journey is that the importance of comfort, adjustability, and variation in the tools we use for hours a day. And this is what I can tell you. Even if you have no pain, you will say, "Oh, wow," the first time you slip your hand into a vertical mouse. I've watched a lot of people by then, out a week, this kind of mouse is immediately more comfortable and more natural to hold. Adjusting to it takes between 5 minutes and an hour, and I've heard that these mice aren't great for gamers, but the point is that you might well fall in love with one of these things even if you don't have any pain. Maybe you'll just rather not get the pain altogether. So there you have it, a vertical mouse. be interesting to see. I'm looking at a close up of what it looks like, and to be honest with you, never heard of it before. It basically looks like it. You hold it. You do the same thing. It's just that it's positions your hand in a different manner so that you can still move it around. So you're kind of driving it like a joystick instead of moving it around like that. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what a vertical mouse costs. I can't imagine a lot because it's really not going to be made any different. It's just manufactured in a different shape. But doing a quick search of vertical mice in the shopping, Avoliant vertical mouse, USB laser mouse, $89. A 60 wireless ergonomic gaming vertical mouse, $16. RGB vertical ergonomic mouse, $60. So they run the gamut. MantiaTech, 2.5 gigahertz, 1600 DPI wireless mount, $12. So new SB optical. So yeah, they're out there. And so all you're doing is you're moving your hand a quarter turn, basically. And you're putting your thumb on the inside and your rest of your hands on the outside. And then you move it like a joystick. Sounds like a good idea. Sounds like you could avoid something like that. I don't know what they're going to do about the mouse pads that we have, the track pads that we have on our computers. I use them all the time. In fact, I don't even use mice anymore. Most of the time I'm using track pads. But nonetheless, it looks like a good idea to consider. So go out and check out whether a vertical mouse makes good sense for you. And certainly, if you're a business owner or a chief information officer, you might want to consider swapping out the old mice for the new ones. Might be a good idea. It's 10:42, and we just talked about that. Let's see. We got Snapchat is in the news. Snapchat has just offered a new feature. Snap introduces a group video calls for up to 19 people, says Jordan Crook of TechCrunch. This came out 1 hour ago. It says Snapchat has today introduced a new group video chat feature, letting users chat with up to 16 of their closest friends. If users need more people in the chat, which for those of us who are large conference calls sounds awful, Snap is also offering group voice calls with up to 32 participants. The feature is relatively simple. Just tap the video icon in the group chat to get started or start up a call with a few people and invite new friends to join. As one might expect, Snapchat's crown jewel filters will also be available to use within a group chat. Folks that aren't camera friendly or camera ready can easily toggle between voice and video to just voice. Snap first introduced group chat and video chat in 2016, looking to give people new ways to communicate on the image-first platform. Snap says that the community is making millions of calls a day since launch. That said, it's worth wondering about the timing of this new feature, which comes almost 2 years after the company announced video chat. It's possible that Snap wants to take advantage of the Delete Facebook movement, offering people as much functionality as possible to connect on their platform instead of the incumbents. It's also worth noting that Snap's 16-person group chat is strikingly similar to House Party, the video chat app launched by the founders of live streaming app Meerkat. Alongside the introduction of group video calls, Snap is also bringing at mentions to the platform. Users can now tag each other in their snaps and stories by simply typing at before their username. Users can have been tagged will be notified when they appear in their friends' stories. I just started using Snap for my businesses, not getting a lot of traction with it right now. but I'm still sticking with it. But essentially, from a social media perspective now, I am using Facebook, Google My Business, Snapchat, Tumblr, and Instagram. And starting to get a lot of traction on all those things. So it's pretty interesting to see how this is all going to, how it's all going to work its way out. We're at the three-quarter mark, and we're going to take another commercial break. You're listening to Tech Today, and we are on WHCRDB, HuntingChamberRadio.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business. Competition. Competition brings out the innovation, brings out the need to compete, brings out the need to challenge. And that is no different in the world of technology, in the world of technology companies. The New York Times reports that retailers race against Amazon to automate stores. Nick Wingfield, Paul Moser, and Michael Corkery published this article on April 1st. And it basically says that to see what it's like inside stores where sensors and artificial intelligence have replaced cashiers, shoppers have to trek to Amazon Go, the internet retailer's experimental convenience shop in downtown Seattle. Soon, though, more technology-driven businesses like Amazon Go may be coming to them. A global race to automate stores is underway among several of the world's top retailers and small tech startups, which are motivated to shave labor costs and minimize shoppers' frustrations. Like waiting for cashiers, they are also trying to prevent Amazon from dominating the physical retail world as it does online shopping. Companies are testing robots that help keep shelves stocked, as well as apps that let shoppers ring up items with a smartphone. High-tech systems like the one used by Amazon Go completely automate the checkout process. In China, which has its own ambitious e-commerce companies, is emerging as a specialty fertile place for these retail experiments. If they succeed, these new technologies could add further uncertainty in the retail workforce, which is already in flux because of the growth of online shopping. An analysis last year by the World Economic Forum said 30 to 50% of the world's retail jobs could be at risk once technologies like automated checkout were fully embraced. In addition, the efforts have raised concerns among privacy researchers because of the mounds of data that retailers will be able to gather about shopper behavior as they digitize their locations. Inside Amazon Go, for instance, the cameras never lose sight of a customer since he or she enters the shop. Retailers had adopted technologies in their stores long before Amazon Go arrived on the scene. Self-checkout kiosks have been common in supermarkets and other stores for years. Kroger, the grocery chain, uses sensors and predictive analysis tools for better anticipate when more cashiers will be needed. But the opening of Amazon Go in January was alarming for many retailers, who saw a sudden willingness by Amazon to wield its technology power in new ways. Hundreds of cameras near the ceiling and sensors in the shelves help automatically tally the cookies, chips, and soda that shoppers remove and put into their bags. Shoppers' accounts are charged as they walk out the doors. Amazon is now looking to expand Go in new areas. The Amazon spokeswoman declined to comment on its expansion plans, but the company has a job posting for a senior real estate manager who will be responsible for site selection and acquisition and field tours of potential locations for new Go stores. Unanimously, there are an element of embarrassment because here is an online retailer showing us how to do brick and mortar, and frankly doing it amazingly well, said Martin Hitch, the chief business officer of Bossa Nova Robotics, a company that makes inventory management robots that Walmart and others are testing. Nowhere are retailers experimenting more avidly with automating store shopping than in China, a country obsessed by new tech fads. One effort is a chain of more than 100 unmanned convenience shops from a startup called Bingo Box, one of which sits in a business park in Shanghai. Shoppers can scan a code on their phones to enter and, once inside, scan the items they want to buy. The store unlocks the exit door after they've paid through their phones. Alibaba, one of China's largest internet companies, has opened 35 of its HEMA automated grocery stores, which blend online ordering with automated checkout. Customers scan their groceries at checkout kiosks using facial recognition to pay electronically, while bags of groceries ordered by customers online float overhead on aerial conveyors, headed to a loading dock for delivery to shoppers. Not to be outdone, JD, another big internet retailer in China, said in December that it had teamed up with developer of Build hundreds of its own unmanned convenience shops. Businesses put readable chips on items to automate the checkout process. At its huge campus south of Beijing, JD is testing a new store that relies on computer vision and sensors on the shelves to know when items have been taken. The system tracks shopping without tagging products with chips. Payment, and for now still happens at a kiosk, is done with facial recognition. JD and Alibaba both plan to sell their systems to other retailers and are working on additional checkout technologies. Back in the United States, Walmart, the world's largest retailer, is testing out the Bossa Nova robots in dozens of its locations to reduce some tedious tasks that eat up workers' time. The robots, which look like giant wheeled luggage bags, roll up and down the aisles looking for shelves where cereal boxes are out of stock and items like toys are mislabeled. The machines then report back to the workers, who restock the shelves and apply new labels. At 120 Walmart, 4,700 American stores, shoppers can also scan items, include fruits, vegetables, using this camera on their smartphones, and pay for them using the devices. When customers walk out, an employee checks their receipts and does a spot check of the items they bought. Kroger, one of the country's largest grocery chains, has also been testing a mobile scanning service in its supermarkets, recently announcing that it would expand it to 400 of its more 27 stores. New startups are seeking to give retailers the technology to compete with Amazon's system. One of them, AFI, is working on cashless checkout technology that says will be flexible and affordable enough that mom-and-pop retailers and bigger outlets can use it. In the United States, venture capitalists just put $100 million into retail automation startups in each of the past 2 years, up from about $64 million in 2015, according to PitchBook, which is a financial data firm. "There's a gold rush feeling about this," said Alan O'Hurley, chief executive of Evervine, an Irish company working with retailers on automated checkout technology that uses artificial intelligence. "While much technology could improve the shopping experience, there may also be consequences that people find less desirable. Retailers like Amazon could compile reams of data about where customers spend their time inside the doors, comparably to what internet companies already know about our online habits. It's combined with everything else Amazon might know about you," said Jenny Gibbert, a researcher of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, an online civil liberties organization. "Amazon knows what I buy online, what I watch, and now how I move about a space." So there you have it, folks. It's coming in droves. We have a lot of opportunity there. Unfortunately, the biggest expense of most businesses is labor. And this is going to potentially drive that labor to another spot. Now, Russell Price of TD Ameriprise says this is okay because we're going to repurpose those people to another place. So they're not going to lose that. They're going to lose that particular job, but they're going to be able to be utilized in another spot because we're going to have a worker shortage if we don't have one already. Well, thank you so much for listening to Tech Today. It's been my pleasure to be with you. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening to Tech Today on WHCRDB, HuntingChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to WHCRDB, HuntingChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As tensions run high in Sacramento after a police shooting of an unarmed black man, the sheriff there says some of the people who've been protesting are not locals.
There are paid protesters and paid people to instigate.
Sheriff Scott Jones also says they've launched an investigation after one of his patrol vehicles struck a protester and then drove away back on Saturday night. An increased police presence expected at mosques across America, especially in New York City, as well as in the United Kingdom, after a message message turns up on social media calling for the assault of people today on April 3rd for what's called Punish a Muslim Day. It suggests people bomb a mosque, and it urges people to commit other various hate crimes against Muslims. Local community leaders gathering yesterday in many cities, including Brooklyn, New York, to condemn the memo. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747.